What is this at 3 in the morning? It's the dying monkey trainer who went to his monkeys and told them, as regards your chestnuts, you are going to have 3 measures in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. At hearing this, all the monkeys became very angry. So the keeper said, all right then, I'll give you 4 measures in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. The monkeys were satisfied with his arrangement. The 2 arrangements were the same. The number of the chestnuts did not change. But in one case, the monkeys were displeased, and in the other case, they were satisfied. The keeper was willing to change his personal arrangement in order to meet objective conditions. He lost nothing by it. The truly wise man, considering both sides of the question without partiality, sees them both in the light of doubt. This is called following two courses of events.
The law of the 3 in the morning. Shantazu loved this story very much. He often repeated it. It is beautiful, with many layers of meaning. Obviously very simple, but still very deeply indicative of the human mind. The first thing to demonstrate is human mind is monkeys. It was not Darwin who discovered that man comes from monkeys. It has been a long observation that human mind behaves in the same pattern as the mind of the monkey. Only rarely it happens that you transcend your monkeyishness. When mind becomes still, when mind becomes silent, when there is really no mind at all, then you transcend the monkey's pattern. What is the monkey's pattern? One thing, it is never still. And unless you are still, you cannot see the truth. You are so wavering, trembling, nothing can be seen. A clear perception is impossible. While meditating, what you are doing? You are putting the monkey in a posture of stillness. Hence all the difficulties of meditation. The more you try to make the mind still, the more it revolts, the more it starts getting into the mind, the more restless it becomes. Have you ever seen a monkey sitting silently still? Impossible. The monkey is always eating something, doing something, swaying, chattering. This is what you are doing. Man has invented many things. If there is nothing to do, he will chew gum. If there is nothing to do, he will smoke. These are just foolish occupations, monkeys' occupations. Continuously something has to be done, so you remain occupied. You are so restless that your restlessness needs to be busy somewhere or other. That's why whatsoever is said against smoking, it cannot be stopped. Only in a meditative world smoking can stop, otherwise not. even if there is danger of death, of cancer, of tuberculosis, it cannot be stopped. Because it is not a question of just smoking, it is a question how to release the restlessness. People who chant mantras can leave smoking because they have found a substitute. You can go on chanting Ram, Ram, Ram. This becomes a sort of smoking. Your lips are working, your mouth is moving, your restlessness is being released. So japa can become a sort of smoking, a better sort, with less harm to the health. But basically the thing remains the same, that your mind cannot be left at rest. Something or other has to be done. And not only while you are awake, even when you are asleep, mind has to do something. Watch somebody, your wife, your husband is sleeping. Just sit for 2-3 hours silently and watch the face. You will see the monkey, not the man. Even in his sleep, much goes on. The man is engaged. This sleep cannot be deep. It cannot be really relaxing. Because the work is going on. The day is continued. There is no discontinuity. The mind goes on functioning in the same way. Constantly there is inner chatter. You go on talking with yourself, a monologue, and there is no wonder you get bored. You are boring yourself. Everybody looks bored. Mulla Nasruddin was telling a story to his disciples. It must have been the day like this. Suddenly, rains started, and a passerby, just to protect himself, came under the sedge where Nasruddin was talking to his disciples. He was just waiting. When the rains will start, he will go. But he couldn't help listening. Nasruddin was telling tall tales. The man many times found it impossible to resist, not to interrupt, because he was saying such absurd things. But he thought again and again and said, "It is none of my business. I'm just here under the sedge because of the rains. And as soon as the rains will stop, I will go. I need not interfere." But at a point, he couldn't help, he couldn't contain himself. He interrupted. He said, "Enough is enough. Excuse me. This is none of my business, but now you have overdone it. I must first tell you this story. And then the point where this man could not contain." Nasruddin was saying that once it happened, in my young days, I was traveling in the forests of Africa, the dark continent. Suddenly one day, a lion jumped just 15 feet away from me, and I was without any arms, without any protection, just alone in that forest, and that lion stared at me and started walking towards me. The disciples became very much excited. Nasruddin stopped for a moment to look at the faces. Then one disciple said, "Now don't let us wait. What happened?" This would be inside the line came nearer and nearer, just 5 feet away. Then another disciple said, "No more waiting. Tell us what happened." Nasruddin said, "It is so simple. It is so logical. You can conclude yourself. The lion jumped, killed me, and ate me." At this point, the stinger couldn't contain. He said, "Enough is enough. What are you saying? The lion killed you and ate you, and you are sitting here alive." Nasruddin looked at the man, stared, and said, "Ha ha, you call this being alive?" Look at people's faces, and you will understand what he means. You call this being alive? So bored to death, dreading. Once it happened, one man asked Nasruddin that, "I am very poor. It is almost impossible, seems almost impossible to survive now. Should we commit suicide? And I have 6 children and a wife, and my widow sister, and old father and mother, and big family and relatives. And it is getting difficult and difficult. Can you suggest something?" Nasruddin said, "Two things you can do, and both will be helpful. One is start preparing breads, because people have to live and they have to eat, and this business will always continue." The man said, "And another?" And he said, "Start preparing dresses for dead men, because when people are alive, they will die, and this business also will always continue." And these two businesses are good, bread and dresses for the dead. After a month, the man came back. He looked even in more despair, very sad, and he said, "Nothing seems to help. I have put whatsoever I have got into the business you suggested, but everything seems to be against me." But Nasruddin said, "How it can happen? People have to eat bread while they are alive, and when they die, their relatives have to purchase dresses." The man said, "But you don't understand. In this village, no one is alive and no one ever dies. They are simply dragging. Everybody just dragging himself. Nobody is alive. And nobody ever dies, because to die, one must first be alive. People are just dragging." Look at the faces. There is no need to look at another's face. Just look in the mirror, and you will find what dragging means. Neither alive nor dead. Life is also beautiful, death is also beautiful. Dragging is ugly. But why you look so burdened? Because the constant jettering of the mind dissipates energy. Constant jettering of the mind is a constant leakage in your being. Energy is dissipated. You have never that much energy which can make you feel alive, young, fresh. And if you are not young and fresh and alive, your death is also going to be a very dull affair. One who lives intensely dies intensely. And when death is intense, it has a beauty of its own. One who lives totally dies totally. And wherever is totality, there is beauty. Death is ugly not because of death, but because you have never lived rightly. You have never been alive. You have not earned a beautiful death. It has to be earned. One has to live in such a way, so total and whole, that he can die totally, not in fragments. You live in fragments, then you die in fragments. Then a part dies, then another part dies, then another part, and you take many years to die. The whole thing becomes ugly. Death will be beautiful if people were alive. This inner monkey doesn't allow you to be alive, and this inner monkey will not allow you to die beautifully. This constant chattering has to be stopped. And what is the chattering? What is the subject matter? The subject matter is the 3 in the morning that goes on in the mind. What you are doing inside the mind, continuously making arrangements to do this, not to do that, make this house, discard that house, move from this business to another, because there will be more profit, change this wife, this husband. What you are doing, just changing arrangements. Chuang Tzu says, finally, ultimately, if you can look at the total is always the same. It is 7. Whether you are given 3 measures of chastness in the morning and 4 measures in the evening, or the otherwise, 4 measures in the morning and 3 measures in the evening, the total is 7. This is one of the secret most laws, that the total is always the same. You may not be able to comprehend it. A beggar and an emperor, when they die, their total is the same. The beggar lived on the streets. The emperor lived in the palaces. But the total is the same. A rich man, a poor man, a successful man, and a failure. The total is the same. If you can look at the total life, then you will come to know what Chuang Tzu means by the 3 in the morning. What happens? Life is not impartial. Life is not partial. Life is absolutely indifferent to your arrangements. As if life doesn't bother about your arrangements, what you make. Life is a gift. If you change the arrangement, the total is not changed. A rich man has found better food, but the hunger is lost. He cannot really feel the intensity of being hungry. The proportion is always the same. He has found a beautiful bed, but with the bed comes insomnia. He cannot sleep. He has better arrangements to sleep. He should be falling in his sleep into susupti, what Hindus call unconscious samadhi. But that is not happening. He cannot fall asleep. He has changed the arrangement. A beggar is asleep just outside, there in the street. Traffic is going on and the beggar is asleep. He has no bed. The place he is sleeping is not even. It is hard, uncomfortable, but he is asleep. The beggar cannot get good food. It is impossible because he has to beg. But he has good hunger. The total result is the same. The total result is seven. A successful man is not only successful, with success come all sorts of calamities. A failure is not just a failure. With failure come many sorts of blessings. And the total is always the same, but the total has to be penetrated and looked. A clear perspective is needed. Eyes are needed to look at the total, because mind can look only at the fragment. If the mind looks at the morning, the evening cannot be looked. If the mind looks at the evening, the morning is forgotten. The total day, mind cannot look at. Mind is fragmentary. Only a meditative consciousness can look at the whole, from birth to death, and then the total is always said. That's why wise men never try to change the arrangement. That's why in the East no revolution has ever been done. Because revolution means changing the arrangement. Look what happened in Soviet Russia. In 1917, the greatest revolution happened on earth. The arrangement was changed. But Lenin, Stalin and Trotsky, I think they never heard about this story 3 in the morning. They should have learned much from Chonkas. But then there would have been no revolution. What happened? Capitalists disappeared. Now there is nobody who is rich. Now there is nobody who is poor. The old classes are no more. But only names have changed. New classes have come into being. Now the manager and the managed. Before, the rich man and the poor man. The capitalist and the proletariat. Now the manager and the managed. But the distinction remains the same. The gap remains the same. Nothing has changed. Only now you call the capitalist the manager. So those who have studied Russian revolution, they say, this is not a socialist revolution, this is a managerial revolution. The same gap, the same distance remains between the two classes, and a classless society has not come into being. Chontazu would have laughed. He would have related this story. What you have done? The manager has become powerful. The managed has remained powerless. Hindus say there are people who will always remain managers and there are people who will always remain managed. There are sudras and kshatriyas. And this is not just a label. This is the type of people. Hindus have divided society into 4 classes. And they say society can never be classless, because it is not a question of social arrangement. 4 types exist unless you change the type. No revolution is of much help. They say there is a type which is sudra. Who is the laborer? Who will always be managed? If nobody manages him, he will be at a loss. He will not be happy. He needs somebody to order. He needs somebody whom he can obey. He needs somebody who can take the whole responsibility. He is not ready to take his responsibility on his own. That type is there. If the manager is around, only then that type will work. If the manager is not there, he will simply sit. The manager can be a subtle phenomena. It may be invisible. For example, in a capitalist society, the profit motive manages. A sudra works not because he loves working, not because he has a hobby to work, not because he is creative. He works only because he had to feed himself, his family. If he is not going to work, who will feed? The profit motive, hunger, body, the stomach, that manages. In a communist country, this is not the manager. But then they have to put visible managers. It is said in Stalin's Russia, there was one policeman after each citizen. Otherwise it is difficult to manage, because the profit motive is no more there. Then one has to force, one has to order, one has to be constantly nagging, only then the sutra will work. There is always a type which is businessman, who always enjoys money, wealth, accumulation. He will do that. It makes no difference how he does it. If money is available, he will collect money. If money is not available, then he will collect postal stamps. But he will do. He will collect. If postal stamps are not available, he will collect followers. But he will collect. He has to do something with numbers. Then he said 10,000, 20,000 followers, 1 million followers. That is just the same that I have got 1 million rupees. Go to your sadhus, greater their number of followers, greater they are. So followers are just nothing but bank balances. If nobody follows you, you are nobody. Then you are a poor guru. If many people follow you, then you are a rich guru. Whatsoever happens, the businessman will collect. He will count. The material is immaterial. There is a warrior who will fight. Any excuse will do. He will fight. Fighting is in his blood, in his bones. Because of this type, the world cannot live in peace. It is impossible. After every 10 years, there is bound to be a big, great war. And if you want to avoid big wars, then many small wars. But the total will remain the same. Because of the atomic and hydrogen bombs, now a great war has become almost impossible. That's why so many small wars all over the world. In Vietnam, in Kashmir, in Bangladesh, in Israel. Many small wars, but the total will be the same. In 5,000 years, man has fought 15,000 wars, 3 wars per year. A type exists who has to fight. You can change this time, but the change will be superficial. If this warrior is not allowed to fight on the war, in the war, he will fight in other ways. He will fight the election. He may become a sportsman. He may fight in cricket or football. But he will fight. He will compete. He needs somebody to challenge. Somewhere or other, fight has to be done to satisfy him. That's why, as civilization grows, people have to be supplied more and more games. Because if games are not given, then the warrior type, what he will do? Go and look when a cricket match is on, or a football match, or hockey. How people become mad. As if something very serious is going on. As if a real war is happening. And those who are fighting, they are serious. Those who are playing, the fans are around. They get mad. Fight breaks. Riots happen. It is dangerous. The playground is always dangerous. Because the type that gathers there is the warrior type. Any moment, anything can go wrong. There is a type of Brahman who always lives in the words, scriptures. The name is not relevant. In the West, there is not a type as Brahman, but the Brahman exists everywhere. Your scientists, your professors, your universities are filled with them. They always go on working with words, symbols, creating theories, defending, arguing. They always go on, sometimes in the name of science, sometimes in the name of religion, sometimes in the name of literature. Those names change. But the Brahman goes on. These four types are there. You cannot create a classless society. These four will persist. And the total arrangement will be the same. Fragments can change. In the morning you can do something else, in the evening something else, but the total day will remain the same. I have heard about one scientist. His father was against of his scientific research. The father always thought it is useless. Don't waste your time. It is better become a doctor. That will be more practical and helpful to people. Just theories, abstract theories of physics are of no help. Finally, he persuaded the son, so he became a doctor. The first man who came to him was suffering from a severe pneumonia. He looked into his books. Because he was an abstract thinker, a Brahmin, he looked into books, he tried and tried. The patient became impatient. He said, how much I have to wait? The scientist who was now practicing as a doctor said, I think there is no hope. You will have to die. There is no treatment. The illness has gone beyond any cure. This patient was a tailor. He went home. After 2-3 weeks, this doctor was passing and he saw the tailor working, and he was healthy and full of energy. So he said, "What? You are still alive? You should have been dead. I have looked in the books, and this is impossible. How you are alive?" The tailor said, "Because you told me that within a week I will have to die. So I thought that why not live? Just a week is left, and potato pancakes are my meals. So I left your office and went directly to the hotel. 8:32 potato pancakes. And immediately I felt much energy coming to me and I am absolutely okay." The doctor immediately noted down in his diary that 32 potato pancakes is a sure for severe cases of pneumonia. The next patient, by chance, was also of pneumonia. He was a shoemaker. The doctor said, "Don't worry. Now the medicine has been discovered. You immediately go and eat 32 pancakes, potato pancakes. Not less than that, 32. And you will be okay. Otherwise, you are going to die within a week." After a week, the doctor knocked at the shoemaker's. It was locked. The neighbor said, "He is dead. Your potato pancakes killed him." Immediately he noted in his diary that 32 potato pancakes help tailors kill shoemakers. This is the abstract mind. He cannot be practical, the Brahmin. You can change surfaces, you can paint faces, but the inner type remains the same. Hence, East has not troubled itself by revolutions. East is waiting, and those in the East who are wise, they look at the West and they know that you are playing with toys. All your revolutions are toys. Sooner or later you will come to realize the law of the 3 in the morning. Now I will read the sutra. What is this 3 in the morning a disciple must have asked Jantasu? Because he always, whenever somebody will mention revolution, change, Jantasu will laugh and he will say, "The law of the 3 in the morning. So one disciple must have asked, "What is this 3 in the morning you talk always?" Said Jantasu, "It is about a monkey trainer who went to his monkeys and told them, 'As regards your chestnuts, you are going to have 3 measles in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. On hearing this, all the monkeys became angry, because they were getting 4 measles in the morning and 3 in the evening in the past. Obviously, they became angry that, "What do you mean? We were always getting 4 measles of chestnuts in the morning and now you said 3? We cannot tolerate this." So the keeper said, "All right then, I will change it to 4 measles in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. The animals were satisfied with this arrangement. The total remained the same. But monkeys cannot look at the total. It was morning, so they could see the morning. Every day, it was the routine to get four measures, and they were waiting for four measures. And this man says, three measures in the morning. He is cutting one measure. It cannot be tolerated. They revolted. They became angry. But this monkey tailor must have been a wise man, otherwise it is difficult to become a monkey tailor. I know it by my experience. I am a monkey trainer. The monkey trainer said, okay, then don't get distressed. I will follow the old pattern. You will get four visits in the morning and three in the evening. The monkeys were happy. Poor monkeys. They can be happy and unhappy without any reason for either. But this man had a bigger perspective. He could see, he could age 4 plus 3. It was always the same. 7 measures were to be given to them. How they take it and what arrangement doesn't matter. The two arrangements were the same. The number of chestnuts didn't change. But in one case the monkeys were displeased and in the other case they were satisfied. This is how your mind goes on working. You just go on changing the arrangement. With one arrangement you feel satisfied, with another you feel dissatisfied, and the total remains the same, but you never look at the total. Mind cannot see the total, only meditation can see the total. Mind looks at the fragment, it is nearsighted. It is very nearsighted. That's why whenever you feel any pleasure, you never look at the evening. You just immediately take the jump in that pleasure. And this has been your experience, but you have not become aware of it. That whenever there is pleasure, there is pain hidden in it. But the pain will come in the evening, and pleasure is here in the morning. You never look to that which is hidden, to that which is invisible, to that which is latent. If you just look at the surface, you go mad. All your life, you are doing this. A fragment catches you. Many people come to me and they say, in the beginning, when I married this woman, everything was very beautiful. But within days, everything was lost. Now everything has become ugly. And now it is in misery. It happened once, there was a car accident. The car turned upside down in a ditch by the side of the road. And the man was lying on the ground, completely crippled, almost unconscious. And the policeman came and he started to fill his diary. And he asked the man, "Are you married?" The man said, "I have never been in a bigger fix than this before. I'm not married. This is the greatest fix I have ever been in." It is said those who know, they will never marry. But how can you know without getting married? What happens in marriage? You look at a person, at the fragment. And sometimes the fragment may look very foolish in the end when you think about the color of the eye. What foolishness? Because how you can depend on the color of your eye or somebody else's eyes that life is going to be beautiful just because of the color of the eyes? A small pigment, 3-4 anna's worth. But you get romantic poetic. The eyes, the color of the eyes. And then you are mad and you think that if I am not married to this woman, life is lost. I will commit suicide. But you don't see what you are doing. One cannot live on the color of the eyes forever. Within 2 days, you will become acquainted with those eyes and you will forget them. Then there is whole life, the totality of it. Then starts misery. Before the honeymoon is finished, it starts misery. Because the total person was never taken into account. The mind cannot see to the total. It just looks on the surface. The figure, the face, the hairs, the color of the eye, the way the woman walks, the way she talks, the sound of her voice, these are the things. But where is the total person? The mind cannot see the total. The mind looks at fragments. And with fragments, you get hooked. And then the total comes in. Because once you are hooked, the total is not far away. Because eyes don't exist as separate phenomena. They are part of a whole. If you are hooked with the eyes, the whole is there. You are hooked with the whole. And then the whole will assert everything becomes ugly. But who is responsible? You should have taken account of the whole. But when it is morning, the mind looks at the morning and forgets the evening completely. But remember well, in every morning the evening is hidden. The morning is constantly turning into evening. And nothing can be done about it. You cannot stop it. Says Lao Tzu, the two arrangements were the same. The number of chestnuts didn't change, but in one case the monkeys were displeased, and in the other case they were satisfied. Monkeys are the minds, cannot penetrate to the whole, and this is the misery. And you always miss. You always miss because of the fragment. If you can see the whole and then act, your life will never be a hell. And then you will not be bothered about superficial arrangements, about morning and evening, because then you can count always it is 7. Whether 4 are given in the morning or 2, doesn't make any difference, the total. I have heard, one small boy came to his home back very puzzled. His mother asked, "Why you look so puzzled?" The boy said, "I am in a fix. My teacher seems to have gone crazy. Because yesterday she told, 4 and 1, 4 plus 1 make 5. And today she told me, 3 and 2 make 5. 3 plus 2. She seems to have gone mad. Because 4 plus 1 is already 5, so how 3 plus 2 can become 5? The child cannot look that fire can come out of many arrangements. There is not only one arrangement in which the total will be five. There can be millions of arrangements in which the total will be five. Howsoever you arrange your life, a religious man will always look to the total, and a worldly man will always look to the fragment. That's the difference. The worldly will look to whatsoever is near, but the far is hidden there. The far is not very far. It will come. It will become near. The distant is not very distant. It will happen soon. The evening is coming. Can you have a perspective in which the total life is seen? It is believed, and I think it is true also, that if a man is drowning, suddenly the whole life, the total, is remembered. But when you are dying, then, drowning in a river, no time is left. Suddenly in the mind's eye, the whole life is revealed, from the beginning to the end. The whole film, as if, passes on the screen of the mind. But what is the use? Now you are dying. A religious man, every moment, looks at the total. The whole life is there. And then he acts out of that perspective of the whole. He will never repent. You will always repent. There is no possibility for you not to repent. Whatsoever you do, you will repent. In one madhouse it happened. The king came to visit. The superintendent of the madhouse escorted him, took him to every cell. The king was very much interested in the phenomena of madness. He was studying it. Everybody should be interested, because it is everybody's problem. And you need not go to a madhouse. Go anywhere and study people's faces. You are in madhouse studying. One man was weeping and crying, hitting his head against the bars. His anguish was so deep. His suffering was so penetrating. The king asked, "Tell me the whole story, how this man became mad." The superintendent said, "This man loved a woman and couldn't get her. He became mad." Then they passed to another cell. There was another man with a picture of a woman, spitting on it. The king asked, "What is the story of this man? He also seems to be involved with a woman." The superintendent said, "This is the same woman. This man also fell in love and he could get her. That's why he got mad. If you get, you become mad. If you don't get, you become mad. The total remains the same. Whatsoever you do, you will repent. Because a fragment can never be fulfilled. The whole is so big, and the fragment is so small, you cannot deduce the whole through the fragment. And if you depend on the fragment and decide your life accordingly, you will always miss. Your whole life will be wasted. So what should we do? What Chantasu wants us to do? He wants us not to be fragmented, to be total. And remember, you can look at the total only when you are total. Because the similar can know the similar. If you are fragmentary, you cannot know the total. How you will know the total if you are fragmentary? If you are divided in parts, the total cannot be reflected in you. When I say meditation, I mean a mind who is no more divided. All fragments have disappeared. The mind is an undivided whole, one. This one mind looks deeply to the very end. It looks from death to birth. It looks from birth to death. Both the polarities are before it. And out of this look, out of this penetrating vision, the action is born. If you ask me, what is sin? I will say, action out of a fragmentary mind is sin. If you ask me, what is virtue? I will tell you, action out of the total mind is virtue. That's why a sinner has to repent always. Remember your own life. Observe it. Whatsoever you have been doing, whatsoever you choose, this or that, everything goes wrong. Whether you get the woman or miss her. In both the cases you go mad. Whatsoever you choose misery. Hence Krishnamurti goes on insisting on choicelessness. Try to understand this. You are here. Listening to me, this is a choice. Because you must have left some work undone, incomplete. You have to go to the office, to the shop, to the family, to the market. And you are listening here to me. This morning you must have decided what to do. Whether to go and to listen to this man, or to go to your work, to the office, to the market. Then you decided as a choice to come here, you will repent. Because even while here, you cannot be totally here. Half of the mind is there. And you are simply waiting when I finish. So you can go. But do you think, had you been chosen otherwise, you had gone to the shop or to the office, would you be totally there? No. Because there was again a choice. So you will be there, and your mind will be here. And you will repent that why I am wasting. Nobody knows what is being done there, what is being talked about. Nobody knows what key is to be transferred this morning. So whatsoever you choose, whether you come or whether you decide not to come, if it is a choice, it means half of the heart, or a little more, has chosen. It is a democratic decision, parliamentary. With the majority of the mind you have decided. But the minority is there. And no minority is a fixed thing. No majority is a fixed thing. Nobody knows. Members go on changing parties. When you came, you decided 51% of your mind wanted to come. 49 wanted to go to the office. But by the time you reach here, the arrangement is changed. The very decision that I would go and listen. And there is a disturbance. And the minority may have become majority by the time you reach here. If it has not become yet a majority, By the time you leave, it will have become. Because then you will think, 2 hours last. Now how I have to recover them? And it would have been better not to go. Because the spiritual things can be postponed. This world cannot be postponed. And there is enough life. We can meditate later on. In India, people say meditation is only for old people. Those who are on the verge of death, then they can meditate. For people who are young, it is not for them. Meditation is the last thing on the list. When you have done everything, and this point never comes, remember when you have done everything. Or when you cannot do anything, because the whole energy is wasted, then meditation. But when you cannot do anything, how can you meditate? In meditation needs energy purest, energy vitalist. Meditation needs energy overflowing. A child can meditate, but how an old man can meditate? A child is easily meditative, an old man no. He is wasted. There is no movement of energy. His river cannot flow, he is frozen. Many parts of his life are already dead. If you choose to come to the temple, you suffer, you repent. If you go to the office, to the market, you suffer, you repent. It happened once, a monk died, and he was a very famous monk. He was known all over the country. Many people worshipped him. He was thought to be enlightened. And on the same day, a prostitute died. And the prostitute also lived just in front of the monk's house, the monk's temple. And she was also a very famous prostitute, as much famous as the monk. There were two polarities living together, and they died the same day. The angel of death came, took the monk to heaven. Other angels of death came, took the prostitute to the hell. And when the angels reached, the door of heaven were closed. And the man in charge said, "You are confused. This monk has to go to the hell, and the prostitute has to come to the heaven." But they said, "What do you mean? This man was very famous ascetic, continuously meditating, praying. That's why we never inquired. We simply went and brought him. And the prostitute is already, she must have reached to the hell, because the other group has taken her. And we never thought that it is worth inquiring. It was so obvious," said the man who was in charge at the gate, "that you are confused because you have looked only at the surface. This monk continuously was thinking, he was meditating for others. For himself he was always thinking, I am missing life. What a beautiful woman. And available. Any moment I cross the street and she is available. And what nonsense I am doing. Just praying. Just sitting in a Buddha posture and attaining nothing." But because of his fame, he couldn't dare. Many people are virtuous because they are cowards. He was virtuous because he was a coward. He couldn't grasp the stage. And so many people knew him. How he can go to the prostitutes? And what people will say? Cowards are always afraid of the opinion of others. So he remained ascetic, fasting, but his mind was always with the prostitute. When there will be singing and dancing, he will listen. He was sitting before the statue of Buddha, but Buddha was not there. His worship was not there. He was listening to the sounds coming, and he will dream. And in fantasy, he will make love to the prostitute. And what was happening to the prostitute? She was always repenting. Repenting and repenting. And she knew she has wasted her life. She has wasted a golden opportunity. And for what? Just for money. Selling her soul and body. And she will always look at the monk's temple, much jealous. But what silent life he is living. What meditative phenomena is happening there. When God will give me one chance to go inside the temple. But she thought, she is a prostitute. She is unholy. She should not enter the temple. She should not go there, so she will come, take a round of the monk's temple, out from the outside, just from the street she will look. What beauty, what silence, what blessing inside. And then there will be kirtan and bhajan and singing. She will weep and cry and scream. She is missing. So the man in charge said, bring the prostitute to the heaven and take this monk to the hell. Because their outer life was different, their inner life was different. But everybody is repenting. The prostitute repents, the monk repents. We have invented a word which is not in any other language of the world. Heaven and hell are found in everywhere. All the languages have that word. We have a different word, that is moksha, nirvana, kaivalya, the absolute freedom, which is neither hell nor heaven. If your outer life is that of a hell, and you repent for it, you will reach heaven. If you are a prostitute, but constantly desiring the world of meditation and prayer, you will reach heaven. If your outer life is of heaven and inner life is that of hell, of the monk who is desiring the prostitute, you will reach heaven. You will reach hell. But if you have no choice, no repentance, if you are choiceless, then you will reach moksha. Choiceless awareness is moksha, is absolute freedom. Hell is also a bondage. Heaven is also a bondage. Heaven may be a beautiful prison. Hell may be an ugly prison, but both are prisons. This point Christians, Mohammedans cannot understand, cannot follow. Because to them, heaven is the last point. If you ask them where Jesus is, their answer is wrong. They say, in heaven with God. This is absolutely wrong. If Jesus is in heaven, then he was not enlightened. Because heaven may be golden, but it is still a prison. It may be good, it may be pleasant, but it is still a choice. Choice against hell, and a virtue which has been chosen against sin, is a decision of mazaj, but the manati is waiting for its own chance. Jesus is in a moksha. That's what I say. He is not in heaven. He is not in hell. He is totally free of all imprisonments, good, bad, sin, virtue, morality, immorality. He has not chosen. He lived a choiceless life. And that's what I go on telling you. Live a choiceless life. But how choiceless life is possible? It is possible only if you can see the total, the seven. Otherwise you will choose. You will say this should happen in the morning, that in the evening, and you think that you are changing, just by changing the arrangement, you are changing the total. The total cannot be changed. The total remains the same. Everybody's total remains the same. Hence I say there is no beggar and no emperor. In the morning you are an emperor, in the evening you will be a beggar. In the morning you are a beggar, in the evening you will be an emperor. And the total remains the same. Look at the total. Be total, and then our choice drops. That monkey trainer simply looked at the total and he said, okay, you foolish monkeys, if you are happy with this arrangement, okay, let this arrangement be there. But if he was also a monkey, then there was going to be fight. Then he would have insisted that this is going to be the arrangement. And who do you think is the leader? You or me? Who do you think is the master? Who do you think is to decide? You or me? Ego always chooses, decides, enforces. And because the monkeys were rebelling, if this man was also a monkey, he would have gone mad. He would have put them in their position where they belong. He should have insisted no more for in the morning. I decide. It happened once. It was 60th birthday of a man. He came home. A long married life of almost 35-40 years. Of much quarrel, conflict. But he was surprised. The wife was waiting with two beautiful ties as a present. He never expected it from this wife. It is almost impossible that she will wait with two ties as a present. He felt so happy, he said, no, don't cook the dinner. I will get ready within minutes and we will go to the most beautiful hut. He went in the bath, got ready, put on one of the gift ties, came out, The wife is there and said, "Watch, what do you mean?" So the other is not good. The other time. So the other is not good. A man can hear only one time. But whatsoever he would have chosen, the same would have happened. So what do you mean? The other is not good. The old habit of quarrel, of fight. It is said about this same woman that every day he will find some clue to have a fight. And she will always find something, because when you are in search, you will find. And remember this, whatsoever you are in search, you will find. The world is so vast, and existence is so rich, that if you are really in keen search of something, you will find. So she will find someday some hair on the husband's coat. And then there will be fight that he had been with some woman. But once it happened, for 7 days she couldn't find anything. Tried and tried, and there was no excuse to fight. So on the 7th day, when the husband came, she started screaming and beating her chest. So he said, "No, what are you doing? What is the matter? What happened?" So she said, "Now you have started to move with bald women." "You rascal, you are finished with other women, you have started to move with one woman." The mind, always in search of trouble. And don't laugh, because this is about your mind. By laughing, you may be simply deceiving yourself. You may think it is about somebody else. It is about you. And whatsoever I say, it is always about you. Mind chooses and always chooses trouble, because with choice is trouble. You cannot choose God. If you choose, there will be trouble. You cannot choose sannyas. If you choose, there will be trouble. You cannot choose freedom. If you choose, it will not be freedom. Then how it happens? How God happens, sannyas happens, freedom happens, moksha happens? It happens when you understand the foolishness of choice. It is not a new choice. It is simply dropping of all choosing. Just looking at the whole thing, you start laughing. There is nothing to choose. The total remains the same. In the end, by the evening, the total will be the same. Then you are not bothered. Whether in the morning you are an emperor or a beggar, you are happy, because by the evening everything comes to the same. Everything is leveled. Death equalizes. In death, nobody is an emperor and nobody is a beggar. Death brings the total out. It is always 7. The two arrangements were the same. The number of chestnuts didn't change. But in one case the monkeys were displeased, and in the other case they were satisfied. The keeper was willing to change his personal arrangements. In order to meet objective conditions, he lost nothing by it. A man of understanding always looks at the objective conditions, never at his subjective feeling. When the monkey said no, if you were the monkey trainer, you would have felt offended. These monkeys are trying to rebel. These monkeys trying to be disobedient. This cannot be tolerated. Because you would have felt the hurt inside. Monkeys are animals and very superior animals. You get angry even at dead things. If you are trying to open the door and it resists, you get mad. If you are trying to write a letter and the pen is not functioning well, smoothly, you get angry. You feel hurt as if the pen is doing it knowingly, as if there is somebody in the boat. Even in the pen's boat, you feel somebody is there and trying to disturb you. And this is not the logic of the small children, this is the logic of you also. If a child clashes with a table, he will beat the table. Just to put it right. And he will always remain an enemy of that table. But you are the same. With dead things also, with things also, you get angry, you get mad. This is subjective. And a wise man is never subjective. A wise man always looks at the objective conditions. He will look at the door. And if it is not opening, then he will try to open it. But he cannot get angry because the boat is empty. There is nobody else who is trying to shut the door, or who is trying your resisting your efforts. In order to meet objective conditions, he changed his personal arrangement. He looked at the monkeys and their minds. He didn't feel offended. He was a monkey trainer, not a monkey. He looked and he must have laughed with him because he knew the total. And he yielded. Only a wise man yields. A foolish always resists. Foolish people say it is better to die than to bend. It is better to break than to bend. Lao Tse and Chuang Tzu always say, when there is a strong wind, the foolish trees, egoist trees, resist and die. And the wise grass bends. The storm goes by, and the grass is again standing and laughing and enjoying. The grass is objective. The big tree is subjective. The big tree thinks itself so much. Somebody. I am somebody. Who can bend me? Who can force me to eat? The big tree will fight with the star. It is foolish to fight with the star because the star has not come for you. It is nothing special. The storm is simply passing and you are there. This is coincidental. The monkeys are not offending the monkey trainer. The monkeys are just monkeys. This is the way they are. They cannot look at the total. They cannot aid the total. They can look only at the near. They cannot look at the far. The far is too far. It is impossible for them to conceive the evening. They know only about the morning. So monkeys are monkeys, storms are storms. Why get offended? And they are not fighting you. They are only trying to follow their own routine, their own habit. So monkey trainer was not offended. He was a wise man. He yielded. He was just like a grass. Remember this whenever you start feeling subjective. Somebody says something. Immediately you feel hurt, as if it has been said to you, you are too much in the boat. It may not have been said to you at all. The other may be expressing his subjectivity or her subjectivity. When somebody says, you have insulted me, what is really meant is something else. The other is saying, and if he was a little intelligent, he would have said the other way. He is saying that I feel insulted. You may not have insulted me, but whatsoever you have said, I feel insulted. This is a subjective feeling. But nobody thinks of the subjectivity, and everybody goes on projecting subjectivity on objective conditions. The other always says, you have insulted me. And when you hear it, you are also subject. Both the boats are filled, too much crowded. There is bound to be a clash. The enmity, the violence. But when the other is saying, you have insulted me, if you are wise, you will look objectively and you will think why the other is feeling insulted. This is the other's feeling, you will try to understand. And if you can put things right, you will eat. Monkeys are monkeys. Why get angry? Why get offended? It is said of Mulla Nasruddin, when he was old, he was made an honorary magistrate. The first case came before him. One man was robbed. So he told his story. Nasruddin heard him and said, yes, you are right. He has not heard the other's story yet. The court killer whispered in his ear that you are new, Nasruddin. You don't know what you are doing. You have to listen to the other before you give any judgment. So Nasruddin said, okay. So the other, the robber, told his story. And Nasruddin listened and said, you are right. The court killer felt confused. This man is not only inexperienced, this man looks absurd. He again whispered in his ear, what are you doing? How the both can be right? Nasruddin said, you are right. This is the wise man who looks at the objective conditions. He will yield. He is always yielding. He is always saying yes. Because to say no, then your boat is not empty. No always comes from the ego. So if a wise man has to say no, still he will use the terminology of yes. He will not say no. He will use the terminology of yes. And if a policeman wants to say yes, even then he feels difficult to say yes, he will use the terminology of no. Even if he has to yield, he will yield grudgingly. He will yield offended, resisting. The monkey trainer yielded. The keeper was willing to change his personal arrangement.
In order to meet objective conditions, he lost nothing by it. No wise men have ever lost anything by saying yes to foolish people. No wise man can ever lost anything by yielding. He gains everything. There is no ego, so there cannot be any loss. The loss is always felt by the ego. I am losing. Why you feel you are losing? Because you never wanted to lose. Why you feel that you are a failure? Because you always wanted to be a success. Why you feel you are a beggar? Because you always desire to be an emperor. A wise man simply takes whatsoever is, he accepts the total. Beggar in the morning, he knows, emperor in the evening. Emperor in the morning, he knows, beggar in the evening. And what is the better arrangement? If a wise man is forced to arrange, he would like to be beggar in the morning and emperor in the evening. A wise man never chooses, but if you insist, then he will say it is better to be beggar in the morning and emperor in the evening. Why? Because to be emperor in the morning, then to be beggar in the evening will be very difficult. But this is our choice. A wise man will choose pain in the beginning and pleasure in the end. Because pain in the beginning will give you taste, the background, and then the pleasure will be more pleasing than ever. Pleasure in the beginning will destroy you and will give you a background, and then pain will be too much, unbearable. In the East, in the West, we have made different arrangements. In the East, the beginning of life for 25 years, every child has to go through hardship. That was the principle followed for thousands of years until the West came and started dominating the East. That was the principle followed. A child has to go to the master's house in the jungle. He has to live through hardship, every possible hardship. Like a beggar, he will lie down on a mat, just on the floor. There will be no comforts. He will have to eat like a beggar. He will have to go and beg for the master in the town. He will have to cut the trees for the wood. He will have to take the animals to the river, to the forest, to feed. For 25 years, he will live the most simple austere life. Whether he is a king or whether he is a beggar doesn't make any difference. Even the emperor's son will have to follow the same routine. There will be no distinction. Come to the life. The life is so blissful. If East was so content, this was the trick, the arrangement. Because whatsoever life gives, it is always more than you knew in the beginning. He comes to live in a hut. It looks like a palace. Because he was just lying there on the ground. Without any shelter, crowded, an ordinary bed, and it is heavenly. Ordinary food, bread, butter and salt, is paradise enough, because even butter was not possible to get at the master's house. So whatsoever life gives, he will be happy. Now, the Western pattern is quite the opposite. They have changed. When you are a student, every comfort is given. Every comfort is given to the students. Hostels, beautiful universities, beautiful rooms, classrooms, teachers, every arrangement, medical facilities, food, hygiene, everything is cared about. And after 25 years, you are thrown into the struggle of life. You become a hothouse plant. You don't know what a struggle is. And then you become a clerk in an office, a master in a primary school. Life is a hell. Then the whole life you will be grunting. The whole life will be a long grunt. Just complaining, complaining. Everything is wrong. It is going to be so. The monkey trainer was saying, three courses in the morning and four in the evening. But the monkeys insisted, four in the morning and three in the evening. Four in the morning and three in the evening. Then evening is going to be cloudy. You will compare it with the past, with the morning. Emperor in the morning and beggar in the evening, then the evening is going to be miserable. And evening should be the climax, not misery. The monkeys are not choosing a wise arrangement. In the first place, a wise man never chooses. He lives choicelessly because he knows the total is going to be the same. In the second place, if he had to choose because of objective conditions, he will choose four courses in the morning and three in the evening. But monkey said no. He will choose, the wise man choose three in the morning and four in the evening, but the monkey said no. We will have four in the morning. The trainer, the keeper was willing. In order to meet objective conditions, he lost nothing by it. But what happened to monkeys? They lost something. So whenever you are near a wise man, let him arrange. Don't insist for your own arrangement. Because whatsoever you choose, in the first place, choice is wrong. In the second place, whatsoever you choose, you monkeys, it will be wrong. Because the monkey mind will look only for happiness right now. Immediate. Instant. What happens later on, he is not worried. He doesn't know. He has no perspective of the whole. Let the wise man choose. But the whole arrangement has changed. In the East, the wise man was choosing. In the West, it is democracy. And the monkeys vote and choose. And now they have converted the whole East towards democracy. Democracy means the monkeys will vote and choose. Aristocracy means the wise man will choose the arrangement. And monkeys will eat and follow. Nothing can be like aristocracy. If aristocracy can run rightly, then nothing can be like aristocracy. Democracy is bound to be a chaos. But monkeys feel very happy because they are choosing the arrangement. The world was happier when the choice was with wise men. And remember, kings were always going to ask the wise men for the final decision. The wise men will not think because they will not like it. They will not bother. They were beggars. They were living in their huts in the forest. But whenever there was a problem, the king had to run. Not to the constituency to ask people what is to be done. He will run to the forest to ask those who have renounced all, because they have the perspective of the whole. And they have no attachment. And they have no obsession. and they have nothing of their own choice. They are choiceless. They will see the hole and decide. The truly wise man, considering both sides of the question, without partiality, sees them both in the light of Tao. This is called following two courses at once. To look at the total means to follow two courses at once. Then it is not a question 4 in the morning, 3 in the evening, it is a question 7 in the whole life. Arrangement is a material that can be arranged according to objective conditions. But 7 in all, 2 courses together. He looks at the whole of everything. Sex gives you pleasure, but he looks also the pain that comes out of it. Wealth gives you pleasure, but he looks at the nightmare that comes with it. Success makes you happy, but he knows the abyss that follows the peak, the failure. That will become intense, unbearable pain. He looks at the whole, and when you look at the whole, then you have no choice. Then you are having two courses at the same time, morning and evening are together now. 4 plus 3 together now. Now nothing is in fragments, everything has become a whole. And to follow this whole is Tao. To follow this whole is to be religious. To follow this whole is a yoga. Enough for today.